Blog Talk Radio.
This is Don Shula, and I listen to the Pat Cotello Show.
It's the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Cotello. Join us now as we talk Dolphins football, or call in live with your questions or comments. And now here's your host, Pat Cotello.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Miami Dolphins Legend Show. I'm your host, Pat Cotello, as we conclude the 2012 Miami Dolphins season with a, it's hard to say devastating, but another blowout loss up in New England, as the Miami Dolphins roller coaster season has come to an end, and we look forward to a new year as we broadcast New Year's Eve going into 2013, and we wave goodbye to what has turned out to be the freshman year of both a new head coach in Joe Philbin and of course, a rookie quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. But the results at the end, not quite what we would have anticipated on the bright side looking forward. Now, the Miami Dolphins come into a season with a lot of question marks. And at the end of this, I'm not so sure we have all the answers to these questions. And I think that's what's going to be the most perplexing as we move forward. And they call this Black Monday, as this is a day where you find a lot of firings in the NFL. And this may be the most that I can remember, maybe ever, as seven head coaches are fired today around the league, and a bunch of GMs as well, which I think is probably the most surprising in that you don't see GMs go as frequently and as much as did this as today. It's just a ridiculous amount, and we'll go through the league there. Now, there's a lot of question marks that the Dolphins have on their staff and you know, on their team, but thus far we haven't really had any of those answers because the Dolphins you haven't really made the moves yet. You know, from that standpoint, you know, we'll go through them and see where they are. But as we look in the league, these are the ones that we know for sure. The Arizona Cardinals fired Ken Wisenhunt today. The long-anticipated North Turner firing has finally happened, as we've talked about that for a long time, and every year it seemed like we were waiting for that ball to drop. Well, it's finally dropped, and he gets fired along with general manager A.J. Smith. Now, Chan Gailey from the Buffalo Bills has gotten fired, so we'll see what happens there, as my partner in crime has told me. The Buffalo Bills have made a deal now to keep their stadium, to make some enhancements to Rich Stadium. They're going to stay in Buffalo. So I don't know where they're heading. It obviously is an AFC Eastern Division rival, and so we'll see how that pans out. But for right now, Chan Gailey fired. Lovie Smith, Chicago Bears, also fired as they had basically fell short of a playoff birth, which looked like it was imminent early on, and so that has not happened, and so I guess they're going to make a change there and have made a change. Now Kansas City has fired Romeo Crennel. The Cleveland Browns have fired their head coach Pat Shurmur and their general manager Tom Heckert. Now the New York Jets, in what may seem like a little strange move, fire general manager Mike Tannenbaum, which most people had anticipated happening. Right now, Rex Ryan still remains the head coach there, and we'll see how that turns out. Now, Rich had pointed out, I guess any head coach that is still intact right now without a general manager still has to have somewhat of a question mark, because you don't know who's coming in there to basically run their team. So we'll see how that transpires. And the first one to go was Andy Reid in Philadelphia. as they announced that right after their loss. So Andy Reid, probably the most qualified and celebrated coach out there, has been let go after, I think, 12 seasons, possibly 13, with the Philadelphia Eagles, the longest-running tenure in Philadelphia sports history since, I think, Connie Mack. So certainly a very accomplished Super Bowl appearance, I think 5 NFC Championship games. So no doubt he'll be a highly anticipated and recruited head coach. I don't know if it's going to happen in 2013. He seems like a guy who maybe needs a year off at least to get things to settle there. And then finally in Jacksonville, they fired their general manager, Gene Smith. Not sure what direction they're going to go. There's a lot of rumors there. And so we'll wait that. But the Miami Dolphins are where we stand right now. That's what we'll focus our microscope on. So without further ado, let me welcome my partner in crime, Rich Van Zandt, to the show. Rich, Black Monday, have you ever remembered it being this dramatic? 7 head coaches and a bunch of teams.
Never this many GMs. And you missed something about the Bills.
Fired every coach. They fired the whole staff.
Their assistants are gone as well.
Either.
Yeah, so that means our long-lost friend got fired today, too, Dave Wannstedt, who did about a decade's worth of damage to our team.
So Wannstedt is out as well, and I guess that would anticipate. Now, you had thought that maybe they were looking to bring him in charge, but I guess they're going to go another direction there.
Well, not so much I was looking through, I was hoping. I was hoping we got to play him twice a year. And I think that would ensure the Buffalo Bills are being bad until about 2025.
Man, that sarcasm never far behind. So I guess they're looking to bring in somewhat of a big name then, right, to completely take over. And
how many big names are out there, though? I mean, there's so many empty spots now. How many big names are out there, I think people are going to have to get awful creative,
Well, let's see. You got... We've heard, obviously the first one is John Gruden. I mean, that's the name that, is going to pop up from, a tremendous amount of time. It already has. Now, Andy Reid, is out. We had thought that maybe there would be a year hiatus, but with all these open doors, maybe not. Maybe somebody goes after him early and he does come in there. We've heard Saban's name pop up quite a few times in the recent months.
Yeah, it's a Cleveland. Did you mention Arizona also?
Yeah, Wiesenhunt, yes, I did. That was the first one I had said.
Yeah, Wiesenhunt got they're talking about Russ Grimm for that job.
Which is, Grimm is a guy that, his name is always
quoted
out there.
Which would be kind of strange, because I think he's really close with Wiesenhunt, kind of a strange one,
And
so we'll see how that pans out. But, they're going to have to, I'll tell you something, they're going to go to college. They're going to get a lot of these college guys. It's going to be bizarre, because I don't think there's a whole lot. There's not 8 big names out there that people can get,
No, I mean, you're right. There's going to have to be some creativity, I guess. And this may not be the end of it now after these, 7 guys are gone.
You got to understand. Yeah, exactly. The teams, I don't know about the Jets, but again, there's a bunch of teams out there that just fired the GM, like the Jaguars. And I think Rivera's getting fired in Carolina. I don't think they're making the decision today. I think he's gone, too. But the GM decisions that have been made today, you get a new GM and he's going to say, I don't want this guy here, So that's, that's going to have to do it also.
And the big question comes, to the Jets now. We both think that, Ryan is going to stay there, but that does bring up an interesting point. And you just never know when a new GM comes in there what direction they're going to go, right?
You have no idea. Yeah. There's no idea. But, you don't know how much power he's going to wield either, You have a multi-billionaire, owner in the Jets. I mean, he may not hire him unless he says, this is my coach. You know what I mean? So who knows what goes on. Yeah, that organization is such a disaster right now.
And he has come on and basically, even though he's denied it, Ryan has basically said that he wants a lot more control, right, of that at least the drafting process or who he's.
Well, that's what he was insinuating. He wants to be more in control of the personnel, and he wants them to spend a ton of money on offense, But
yeah,
it was breaking news today. Santonio Holmes refused to talk to the press in a way, but
Now, let's back it up a little and let's turn our microscope onto the Miami Dolphins. Very strange year. As we said in the opening, a lot of question marks coming into this year. Now it ends on a very sour note. I'm not so sure you have so many of those answers to these questions, right? Yeah. I mean, it seems like you almost have more questions than you did. You know, the one thing I guess that comes out of there is Ryan Tannehill. You have a full year of seeing Ryan Tannehill, and I think, if you have to choose positive or negative, you're certainly going to go positive. You like a lot of the things that you've seen, and you look for room, you know, for success. So, as I've said, though, throughout the year, if you take the big four quarterbacks that have come out, you have to put him four out of the four of them. There's no doubt about that. But you still think you've seen enough that you're I don't know if confident is the word, but optimistic that, you know, this is going to be your quarterback of the future of this team, correct?
Yeah, there's no question. You saw a lot of things you liked. And, you know, he did start improving towards the end of the year. Like, even yesterday, he made some great throws yesterday. He had some very key drops. I mean, you know, they were playing without bets. You know, they were a mess yesterday. You know,
right.
And that guy Bins, how many drops did that guy have? You know?
Yeah.
You know? You knew that was going to be a tough spot when we saw that on the schedule in April. But,
yeah.
You know, there was a lot of good things that we saw out of Tannehill. You know, the big question mark of our team, I don't know who's in. It's for everybody else. Who's else is going to be there? Because we have 20 guys that are potential free agents. And, you know they're not going to bring back 20 guys. So this team could be totally different next year.
Well, as you – and I think this is a safe assumption. If you take those four guys that have come out, other than Russell Wilson, I think it's fair to say that Ryan Tannehill had the least amount to work with around him, right? I think that Indianapolis was in a lot better shape than people had thought with their record last year, and they certainly have – a star in Reggie Wayne, you know? I mean, he is a
You know, honestly, what were they? Three years removed from a Super Bowl appearance? This is the 10th out of the 11th year they've made the playoffs. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you know, they just had a real terrible year last year because they had no replacement for Peyton Manning last year. You know?
They had a
coach that wasn't ready to do anything creative. You know, he was over his head in that role. And, you know, yeah, they were a mess. But, you know, it's just amazing to me that we go from Marino to, like, purgatory for a dozen years, and this team has to suffer 1 year, and they fall into Andrew Luck, and now they're set again for another 15. It's just amazing, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. But that usually is the case with the Miami Dolphins, and there's been many teams that have had the same kind of success. I mean, look, you can go Green Bay, same way, you know? Far to Rodgers was, you know, as fluent as you can possibly be. So, you know, they're not the only team to kind of have that fall into their lap, you know. I mean, it does happen. The Broncos, you know, seem to struggle a lot as well, you know, after Elway was gone. But, you know, let's shift to now the Washington Redskins. I think the Redskins put themselves in good shape. You know, Shanahan, obviously, you know, is a proven coach offensively, especially. So they had a lot that, you know, they can work with there as well. A lot surrounding them, you know, so I would put them ahead of the Dolphins in that area. You know, and then they made some move. You know, Pierre Garçon was certainly a big move for them. And Santana Moss is a great receiver. You know, so they had some them stuff there. You know, it seems like Ryan Tannehill, like I said, next to Russell Wilson, they didn't have a lot there. And then with the injuries and, you know, there's still a lot of question marks there, you know, that didn't help this kid for sure.
Yeah, you know, but just remember too, you know, like, you know, you go to Seattle, that division's, you know, other than playing Frisco twice, there's nothing there. They have like two bye weeks they got, you know, like four bye games. You know, their schedule is much different than ours. They have a sick home field crowd, and they have a much better defense than we have, you know? So, you're right. I mean, Tannehill had the least support the toughest situation to come in. And, you know, when you're playing in a division with the Patriots, you know, it's totally different than anybody else's. I mean, you know how it is. I mean, you know, this is a division where 11 wins didn't get you into the playoffs for, like, three times in the last decade.
Yeah, but back up there for a second now, Rich. I mean, if you want to really get, you know, honest about it, the Seahawks, okay, if you look at their division, you know, it's a very similar situation, isn't it? Because they have the San Francisco 49ers. And so the 49ers and the Patriots, you know, that's close to a wash there. I mean, they didn't win their division, you know. They didn't win their division. And so, you know, the NFC West, I understand you have the Rams, and I understand you have the Cardinals. But, you know, from the same token, you got the Buffalo Bills and, you know, and the Jets, okay? Maybe the Jets are a step above, even though the record doesn't necessarily indicate that. Maybe they're a step, you know, above the Rams. I'll give you that. I agree. But Seattle went 11-5. You know, they didn't win their division, okay? So, you know, it wasn't as much of a gimme as you thought. If you look at their schedule, you know, their schedule wasn't that easy. I mean, they did get some breaks here and there. But, you know, and I agree, their defense is much better and their home field advantage is sick. But I don't know if you can say it's as much.
Well, don't discount Marshawn Lynch, too, you know. A pounding back where they can just, you know, the end of the games they can just, you know, just pound. We can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lead at the end. We have to, like, hope that he, like, you know, somebody can throw a 3rd-and-3 pass at the end, you know, to lock it up. You know how that works, you know?
I agree, but, you know, you have Reggie Bush, I mean, going in, so if you look at that on paper, you know, you'd probably say, hey, you know.
He's just not benched at the end of the year.
that's all part of the equation here. Yeah, I understand that. I mean, that's all part of the equation that you have to deal with how it transpired, you know. But, you know, as far as going in on paper, you know, really wasn't, you might not say that was an advantage. And if you look at their schedule, because I was looking at Seattle's schedule today, I mean, their schedule was not that easy. I mean, they played Green Bay, played Dallas, they even played the Patriots, you know. They had to play the Patriots once. You know, they played the Vikings, they played the Bears. You know, it wasn't super, super hard, but, you know, it was very equivalent to what we had. And that three-game stretch, you know, where the Dolphins just collapsed against bad teams, you know, is probably what you look at. But, you know, I think it's very, very equal. And so by saying this, then my next question points up. How much of a pass does Joe Philbin get here, and what kind of grade are you giving him in his first year as the Miami Dolphins head coach?
Well, you know, I would say, like we were talking the other day, about a C. You know, I mean, you can't really give him above a C, can't really give him below a C. It's kind of like an incomplete, really, grade, the way I look at it. It's very hard to judge so far, you know? And you know, I was reading an article online a couple minutes ago about Ireland, that says it must be nice to have a boss like Stephen Ross, because another losing season and he's not even mentioned as being, like, his job being in jeopardy, you know, for the new year.
Yeah, and, you know, the fact that all these teams have decided to cut bait, you know, with their GMs and their coaches, and that doesn't make it easy, you know, to make this change, because how many GMs are there out there, you know?
Well, you know, we said it, we've been saying this for a long time. We don't think Stephen Ross is capable of finding another GM. That's one of the problems. You know, I don't think he would know where to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that his football mind is not, you know, something that can handle this on its own. So he is very susceptible to have to find somebody to completely run his football operations. And that's not such an easy task. You're absolutely right. The names that we thought, you know, would be the guys to do that, or, you know, the Petersons or, you know, maybe the Schottenheimers or something like that, he has not went to. So, yeah, I don't know where you turn other than a coach who's, you know, very, very like-minded. Bill Polian is the guy that comes to mind as the big GM out there. I mean, I think he's the one.
I was seeing someone, I can't remember who it is off the top of my head, but somebody hired Ron Wolf to, like, search for a GM. For them today. I'm like, wow, I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yeah, well, but I think that goes and shows you the state of the league and a lot of the problems that they have. Like you had said, Bill Parcells, you're going to see him, right? Then when the Jets are talking about, who's talking about bringing him in?
The Jets, about finding a new GM, absolutely.
It just goes to show the state of this when you have some of these older veteran GMs that have not really even been part of this in a long time coming back in. It's a tough spot to find these guys, and that's why you're seeing some of these guys come in. But Bill Polian would, to me, seem like the big name GM that's going to be courted in this entire thing. So we'll see that how it transpires. We'll take a quick break.
Bill Polian, right? I mean, Bill Polian, was he that much of a genius that, with Peyton, he had Peyton Manning for all those years. As soon as Peyton got hurt, you saw the team he had. It was pretty flawed.
I agree.
Once you took the top dog away, it was almost an undefeated the wrong way team last year.
I understand that. But, a lot of really good draft picks throughout that to build this Super Bowl team. He did win a Super Bowl. He went to two. So, he's still going to be the guy. Let me take a quick break. We'll come on back and we'll review the Patriots game.
Hi, this is Larry Zonka, and you're listening to the Pat Catella Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show, sponsored by Don Nottingham Associate Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance while playing for the Miami Dolphins in 1975. Don recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit him at www.donnottinghamins.com. And now back to your Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Catella.
Miami Dolphins Legend Show. I'm Pat Catella, joined alongside Rich Van Zant as the Miami Dolphins 2012 season has come to an end with a debilitating loss, 28-0 up in New England. Rich, when it comes down to degrading this team, I think the first thing you look at is, are you better off than you were last year? Now, going up there and losing in the fashion that they did, a tough place to play, a very cold day, a later game, honestly, a lot of things going, against them. Does this game just show how far apart the Miami Dolphins are right now from the top dog in their division, the New England Patriots? Is it a clear?
There's no expression. Yeah. I mean, we're light years away right now, it seems like, from New England. I mean, it didn't seem like that a few weeks ago when we played them, in Miami. But, look, we came in there, you know, without Bess, with a few injuries on defense. We all know that stuff, you know. But we don't have an answer for those tight ends and Welker when they're healthy. We really don't.
Yeah,
you know,
I think that was pretty evident.
Man, we made Danny Woodhead look like Jim Brown yesterday. I mean, it's really disheartening, you know.
So with that being said, then, you know, I understand the difference in quarterback as far as optimism and optimistically with Ryan Tannehill and what he may be. But from skill level of the way Moore played last year, you know, you take that out of the mix. Is this team better than it was last year?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think
well,
so. I think
show me where.
You know,
tell me where. Show me where.
No, we're one game better than we were last year. You saw that. No, I think we lost a lot more closer games than we did. I mean, we easily could have won 9-10 games this year. I mean, they really shot themselves in the foot, you know, with the missed field goals in the beginning of the year, you know, that debacle in Indianapolis, the inability to create turnovers or when they're gift turnovers, to complete the turnover. You know, I think you know, the coach is better than what we've had, and I think the quarterback is more stable. Just let's see if they can build on this.
But is it as clear-cut, though, as you're making it? I realize there was a bunch of games that, you know, you maybe could have won, that you didn't win, you know, last year. But then, I remember a few games last year. Didn't you lose to the Browns by a point, right? And then, you wound up overtime to, you know, that Tebow game, right, was ridiculous. I mean, that's a game you certainly should have won. The Giant game up here last year, that's a game you should have won. You had even the Cowboy game, right? How about that Thanksgiving game? I mean, you had a bunch of games last year that easily could have been won, you know, by the Dolphins last year, too. You could have had 10 wins, you know, last year. I just named those.
Yeah, but just going forward, you have to be optimistic that you finally found the franchise quarterback and you have a stability in the head coach. And that's what you have to really hang your hat on. I mean, it's very hard to judge it in 1 year.
It is, but, you know, I mean, and I know it comes down to those two things. If you take those things out of the mix, it's not so clear.
You're worse.
Right?
You're worse. You're worse.
You're worse. I give you the quarterback one. You know, I guess the head coach one is certainly still up for grabs, though, right?
It looks like Tannehill is going to be there. It looks like Philbin, you know, I like his mannerisms on the sidelines, you know. There's things that drove me crazy this year with him, you know, that time out, you know, on the kick that was no good. And I mean, you can't forget some of those things, but you didn't see him doing it again, at least, you know. I don't know. It's really hard to grade it right now. It's very difficult. You know, I feel a lot better this year at the end of the year, you know, than I did last year at the end of the year, put it like that.
Yeah, I know, but I know why you do, and it's basically because of Ryan Tannehill. And so
of course.
My question
is, how big is that,
though? It is big. If it turns out to be the guy, and it's very big, there's no doubt. But, you know, from the same token here, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in this offseason, and are you confident that they're going to go out there and do it? You know, I mean, that's what I guess it comes down to next, because you have a lot of areas that need to be addressed personnel-wise, and you have to be very aggressive in the draft and, you know, in what you do as far as going and getting some of these guys, which they didn't seem like they did last year. We went through this, you know, for the last few weeks here on the show, how many needs there are in almost every position you can think of. You know, we have a lot.
And they may create more needs. You know how this team works. Like, they created needs last year that we didn't anticipate. I mean, you know, look, if they don't re-sign Reggie Bush, that's another issue. You know, if they don't sign Jake Long, they're creating another issue. You know, so they can actually make it more difficult to get to the next level than it has to be if they don't re-sign the right people that are on this team at this moment. You know, like I said, we have, you know, Brian Hartline's a free agent also. They didn't address that yet.
Which is, you know, it's very scary there because, you know, I guess the first one is Jake Long. But, you know, out of the three of them, you know, who's the guy that you want to sign the most out of those three?
Jake Long's the most difficult one because, like, again, you can franchise him. But the problem is it's going to cost over $15 million a year. It's basically going to give him a $3 million raise that he doesn't deserve at this point. How do you lock him up at this juncture? Because the last 2 years have – it looked like he's been, you know, going the other direction, you know, with his injuries and his play on the field, right? So,
yeah,
I don't know. That's a real tough call, you know. I don't, you know, I know we're a lot under the cap, but do you want to throw $15 million, you know, at a guy who couldn't finish the year the last 2 years? I don't know. That's a very tough decision.
If you can only have one, who do you want?
Well, I don't think Hartline is going to command the money that the other two are. And I think Bush probably would stay here for less money for some reason. You know?
Which is shocking.
I want all three of them. If I have to pick two out of the three that we're going to take, I would say let Long go and, you know, keep the other two, you know? And then you just have to go sign another right tackle and just, like, you know, the guy we drafted last year, Martin, is your left tackle from this point forward. You know?
Right. Now, you know, when you look at the situation of this team, I can't – why would Reggie Bush want to come back into this environment that just seemed like it didn't take to him? Right? I mean, the guy, you know, he has a chance of 1,000 yards. It was plainly obvious that the team didn't want anything to do with him getting that 1,000 yards. I mean,
yeah, and we were joking yesterday. It was like Charles Comiskey with Eddie Seacott with his 30
it
wins.
Really
like, you know,
was.
Basically.
It really
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
And for those people at home who don't, you know, are missing the reference, of course, you know, there was a deal with the Black Sox pitcher. If you guys thought, what was it, the 30 games? 30
wins.
Did he ever win with?
30 wins, 30? And they benched him the last. But yeah, the 30. He had a $20,000 bonus if he won 30 games back in the day. And they benched him with a month to go in the season at 29 to rest him for the World Series. Back then there was no playoffs. Just the two best teams went to the World Series. And he went for his bonus, and he said, you know, since here, you won 30. To win 30, how many did he win? 29, sorry. Like, it's basically six starts away from a guy with one win to go.
And that's basically what, you know, what it seemed like this year with Bush.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really ridiculous. Like, the benching of him, the feeling, it just did not seem like this team was playing as a unit. It just seemed like there was so much friction.
I'll give you a reason why he may want to come back. He really didn't have a good time in New Orleans. I think New Orleans was a worse situation for him. And, you know, because they were really in and out. He wasn't really the every down back. And as bad as this situation was, it was still infinitely better than it was in New Orleans. So I think that's maybe what he's looking at.
I understand what you're saying, but it didn't seem like he was the every
down. And he may be afraid.
He
may be afraid if he goes somewhere else, it's going to be back to that role again. You know, so I don't know.
But was it?
You know,
it was almost that. I mean, what was so different about this role here? It wasn't as different as you're making it seem. It was supposed to be different, but it didn't seem like it was different. I mean, he was in towards the end of the year. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and
he got benched
a couple games. I don't know. It'd be very interesting to see what they do with him because from the outside looking in, it certainly seems that they don't like him for some reason. You know,
that's the
feeling that we got.
You don't have to be a brain surgeon to see, you know, the animosity towards this guy on this team. It's ridiculous.
We've been screaming about throwing the ball to him more, and it seems like the last four games, they like the light switch came on, and the offense coordinators had Mike Sherman, and they started using him as passing plays. You know, he was overthrown yesterday, wide open. You know, he had that beautiful touchdown pass a couple of weeks ago that he caught. You know, I don't know what took so long. I mean, that's a weapon that can't be stopped.
Yeah, but again, inconsistent. You know, they went through it at work, then they didn't go back. You know, then they went through it at work, they didn't go back.
Like I said, it's such a weapon. I mean, you should be using. You know, I mean, look at the way Belichick Well, look what he gets out of Danny Woodhead from, like, catching passes out of the backfield. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you take that role and you put Reggie Bush in Danny Woodhead's body. You know how crazy that would be?
You would think, yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, you would certainly think. If you put Reggie Bush in that situation, you're looking at a scary, scary dynasty.
And remember, don't discount Belichick stealing our guys again. Like, you know, if Hartline gets out there, if Bush gets out there, don't be surprised. You know, and supposedly Welker's the big free agent and stuff, and they're talking like, you know, we should make a play for Welker, you know.
Yeah, well, I add to that, you don't think there's any chance, though, right?
Oh, no, there's a chance. If he wants to make sure there's no chance that he gets McCann, Ohio, he'll come back.
You know, it's funny as that is, it's probably more true than not, and that's what, you know.
He's on the fast track right now. He comes back to Miami, no chance.
Yeah, you're right. I guess he's not going to come, you know. I guess he's really not.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But, you know, he may not be a Patriot next year. I can see that.
Yeah, just going to another contending team. But, I know you know, if you had the one guy, you know, it's Fitzgerald for you. That's the guy that you want. And
That's the move. Like I said, there's really no one to talk to today over there, but I would have been on the phone call. I would have interrupted the firing meeting over in Arizona today.
But that's not necessarily a good thing, though, because, you know, that's a lure for whoever comes in there. I mean, whoever comes in there, you know, unless it's Jimmy Johnson, you know, they're not going to be so apt to trade him.
Well, don't be so sure. You got to understand something. That team has to start over again. So you got somebody in there. They're going to have a 5-year play. Well, hear me out. They don't have a quarterback. They have draft picks. They're this and that. They need everything. So they may want to accumulate more draft picks. That's their trade bait. He's no use to them. You know? He runs out, too. So, you know, the greatest part about that, if you make that trade, he's locked up. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, you have that contract, and he's yours for a long time.
I understand. Like I said, though, I mean, you know, you don't have a Jimmy Johnson-minded kind of guy taking over. I understand the rationale behind that, but I don't know that, you know.
I'll tell you right now, he will not be there next year. Will he be in South Florida? I don't know, but he won't be there next year. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
There's no way.
I don't know if the Dolphins, and if that's the key, I don't know if the Dolphins have enough to offer. I mean, are you willing to basically offer five picks for him?
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
I understand the mindset there. I mean, I think that a guy like
I wouldn't have to go up five. If I was the GM, I wouldn't have to give up five picks. But I would be able to make that deal. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
You know, because it helps the Cardinals. You get a few picks, they get rid of that salary, and it opens up doors for them to make a lot of other moves. It really helps them all around, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, that team's like the bottom of the barrel right now.
And that changes your offense immediately. I mean, that basically puts you right in the game offensively.
Absolutely. You're a contender next year, you know? A few more. Like I said, the goal this year in the offseason, you give me Jeff Allen's job right now. Basically, what you have to do is start looting the crappy teams. I mean, obviously, there's, what, eight, nine coaches and 12 GMs fired today, whatever it was, right, altogether.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go to those teams when they, you know, and you got to start looting the talent because they're going to be dumping salaries in these places. You know, just like baseball. You got to go in there and you got to poach all the talent from these teams. Then you got to use free agency correctly, you know, fill your needs in free agency. And then the last line of defense is you got to have a decent draft. But I think the most important thing is to make deals with the bottom of the barrel teams and to sign the key free agents. And, you know, and again, key free agents means signing some of your own. You know,
and we know how successful the Miami Dolphins have been going after these free agents and specs. So, transitions. Correct. Yes.
When ordering food, you find out what she wants, then order for the both of you. It's a classy move. Now, the lady will have the linguine and white clam sauce and a Coke with no ice.
Hey, this is Robert Roman. It's Mike DeMone from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I'd like to chat, but I'm really kind of busy. I'm listening to the Pat Catello Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show, sponsored by Iberia Tiles, with locations from Georgia to South Florida. Iberia Tiles offers over 3,000 products and complete peace of mind. From tiles, molasses, and stone to wood flooring, Iberia has the solution no matter what the size of your project. Visit IberiaTiles.com. That's I-B-E-R-I-A. And ask for Dave or call direct at 404-409-0746. And Fanatics.com. If you love the Miami Dolphins, then you need to visit Fanatics.com. Once again, that's Finn, P-H-I-N. And now back to your Miami Dolphins Legends Show with your host, Pat Catello.
Life is saying, I'm moving in stereo. Like sin, it's all inside you.
Welcome back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show. Pat Catello joins alongside Rich Van Zandt as we conclude the Miami Dolphins 2012 campaign with their final loss in a 7-9 record, which is one better than they did last year. So, Rich, I guess my question ultimately comes down to this. Are the Miami Dolphins more attractive now than they were a year ago for these free agents or whatnot to come to our team?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they can see that this team's, you know, look, we came in second place this year, you know. Uh-huh. I think we really separated ourselves from the bottom of this division. It's just now that we have to slay the dragon now, which not no easy task as long as number 12 is still there and Belichick.
Correct.
I mean, you know, I think you always have that where we play. I think that is always going to be a plus that, you know, you want to live in South Florida or you want to go to Green Bay. You know what I'm saying? I think that's an always, you know, always a more attractive thing. No, I know, but we've been a mess. Now that you have what, you know, we all hope is the franchise quarterback, you know, I think the perception of the whole thing changes.
Well, it didn't seem like that was the case. You know, which is surprising, I guess. But in recent times, that the state, no state taxes and the South Florida, you know, living conditions, it really has not helped at all. Everything.
Well, because with this team's been in disarray though for a dozen years, on and off.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
You know, so that's the perception of it. Now that it looks like you have a stability in head coach. You have stability at quarterback, I think it changes everything, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know how much you people are going to see that as being stability. Yeah, I think that you have a lot. It's better than it was. Yeah, I give you that. I mean, I think that, Tannehill there certainly, you know, makes it more stable.
But, you know, not for nothing. I think it always comes down to the same thing, I believe, too, in sports. It always comes down to the money, you know?
But
you went after these big guys. I mean, has it been that you just lowballed them?
Who did we not get? Are you talking about like the Peyton Mannings, that stuff?
Peyton Manning, I think you wanted to get Flynn. I think ultimately you didn't get him, but I think you wanted him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, those two that come to mind.
I mean, he didn't even come visit us. Who else have we really courted that we didn't get? I mean, obviously, I know the coaching situation that we didn't get the three guys that they wanted.
Yeah,
but who are you talking about?
I mean, that's what I'm talking about. You know, the coaches, the Fishers, you know, the Harbaughs, you know, whoever you went after there, Matt Flynn, Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
It just seemed like, you know, everyone that you wanted or showed an interest to just didn't have any interest in coming. Anyway, that's my concern. Are some of these guys now going to, you know, entertain you a little bit more?
Yeah, I really believe so. You know,
okay.
I think they saw some good things. I think this organization is definitely on the uptick. You know, it could go back the other way also. But I think they have the shot to really get out of this ditch right now.
Yeah. And with all the people that you need, I mean, they're gonna have to, right? I mean, you're going to have to because you've got to be aggressive in this offseason. And there's a lot of teams that are going to be going after a lot of people. You know, and there certainly were some guys that would have enhanced your team this year that you chose not to to go after. You know, the Garcons,
I finally heard a Brandon Marshall explanation that when they decided to trade Brandon Marshall, they wanted to get into the free agency mix for a wide receiver to replace him. And what happened was the Garcon signing happened like almost immediately. And then remember when Manningham went to Manningham was like on their list too, and he got so overpaid, and that's why they backed off. You know, they thought that they had more time. So basically, what they should have done is signed a free agent, then traded Marshall, but they did it in reverse action and got standing there with no chair to sit, you know? You know, musical chairs.
Okay.
So, you know, there's definitely a screw-up, you know? Who was the other big receiver that was a free agent? It was Garcon and who else?
Yeah, Garcon, you had Wallace was restricted.
Yeah, it was Wallace. And Wallace is a free agent this year, too. They were talking about Wallace, Welker, and Jennings. You know, those are the three big ones. But they're going to get a ton of money, you know.
Yeah.
I think the move is to get Fitzgerald. He's got the contract already. You know, you just go, you trade for him.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the move.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. If I could have any one of the four, that's the guy that I would want. Now, as far as if you're going to take one of the other free agent ones, you know, Jennings, we've heard those rumors now for over a year, and you have Philbin in there, so that seems like, you know, the obvious one. You know, Welker is probably the most intriguing. I don't know that he fits in as good, you know, with Best there, right? You have to
They would say you would basically make Welker your number one as a slot, you know, and you have front line going deep and Best, you know, Welker and Best doing this same kind of crossing patterns, I guess, from both sides of the ball when you have all three in there. I guess it would be you would have Welker, Hartline, and Best would be your number three, you know?
Yeah, that's a strange lineup, though. I don't know. I've never seen it.
No, it's not conventional.
Like
there's no question.
No.
It's not conventional. There's no question about it. I mean, you need an alpha receiver. You need, you need one of the great ones. And, you know, and like I said, I really believe that the best receiver in football is available this year. And you want to make a statement instead of changing the logo, which you shouldn't be doing, go get Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking of which, as we come to our conclusion, let's bring that up because I know it's been on your mind. They recently released, although they won't deny it, they won't admit it, a new logo change. The bottom line is they're changing the logo. What exactly it's going to be, we don't know, but we've seen the first draft of what, you know, is rumored to be it, and I think the consensus is it's just – I'm horrendous. Is that too strong a word? I mean,
It's horrendous. You know what it looks like? Seriously, it looks like you're walking in SeaWorld, and it's the sign where the bathroom tank is with an arrow pointing towards it. Look, our logos had two major changes since the inception in 1966. When you don't have something broken, don't fix it, guys. You see the Yankees changing their logo? You see the Red Sox changing their logo? I mean, stop already, okay? The reason this team has a huge fan base is that logo, okay? You don't change it to something that's so – it almost looks like it's computer-generated that some nerd in a 12th grade art class drew it up for a school project. I mean, it's horrendous.
Well, I think that what it really looks like, and you actually had said this as well, it looks like the Sun Life Stadium logo that they had.
Yeah, when they called it Dolphin Stadium for 4 weeks, yeah, and that was the logo they had for Dolphin Stadium. Yeah, it's a version of that. It's ridiculous looking. Really, anyone who's listening to us, please go online and feel free to send disparaging emails to this organization to stop this before it happens, because it's absolutely ridiculous. Why would you screw? Yeah. The one thing everybody likes and nobody has a problem with is the logo, and you want to screw with that too and drive us crazy? I mean, stop already. You put your dopey nightclub in the stadium, that bombed. You got all the dopey celebrity part owners. That was a disaster. What, you can't stop until you ruin this too? Stop it already.
Now, are you confident, like when you with this logo that you're saying, are you confident that everybody is in love with that? I mean, I certainly am. I think that the old bathroom logo, the new, even the tweaked one, I mean, that's attractive to me. I know some people, non-bathroom wise, have something to say about it, but, from the same token, that's what I think has attracted a tremendous amount of people, to it.
There's absolutely no question. The Miami Herald had a poll, and I think the last time it was almost 75% to leave it alone,
Right.
I hope Mike D and all his corporate artists that he has locked up in a room somewhere gets the hint and just leave it alone. Save your money and leave it alone. You have much more important things to be worried about than changing this iconic logo, okay? This team's really been in a rut for over a decade now, and you want to screw with the only thing that everybody loves. So just leave it alone. I've been a Dolphin fan. You've been a Dolphin fan much longer than Mike D knew what the Miami Dolphins even were, okay? So, you newbies that are working for this organization, stop it already. It's getting very aggravating.
Yeah,
agreed. We live and die with this team, and, you're going to aggravate us more with this nonsense? You want to tweak it, or the uniforms a little bit. You want to change something, whatever. Leave the logo alone. Leave the colors alone.
Well, it's gonna get
changed. It was bad enough we had to deal with that horrendous orange uniform that looked like the University of Miami was playing on Monday Night Football for how many years?
That drove me crazy. It's getting changed, and I'm just looking. Obviously, I can't show our listeners, but I just looked at that Dolphin Stadium logo again, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, it's a tweaking of that. I mean, that's what it basically looks like. It doesn't lay right on a helmet. It's all part of this whole thing, and we've talked, ad infinitum, of how. It basically, this whole organization is just—it's not in tune with everybody else.
I understand. Like, they think this is going to help them. No one's going to buy another shirt because of that. I mean, it's going to kill your merchandising sales. That logo is horrendous. No one's going to buy it because of that. And look, I got news for you guys. I got enough Dolphin thing. I can wear it for the rest of my life and never wear the same one three times. So I don't care. I will wear the new one. I'll tell you that right now.
But it just, again, just to me shows how the Dolphin brass is just not
cool.
In sync with
it's exactly what it is. It's somebody outside looking in that just has a job with this organization that looks at this and you think this is a good move. I mean, the history of this team is that logo, okay? You know, you don't see the Raiders changing. You see the Raiders changing their logo? You know, any of the great teams. I mean, the Patriots made a huge mistake, I believe, when they changed it. That new logo they have is horrendous. That looks like the Rocketeer. You know, they should have gone back to the three-point stand guy a long time ago. But, you know.
Well,
I mean, give me one good logo change that was good. You know, I mean, you know, you don't change stuff like that. That's your identity.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the tradition and great teams don't, you know, like you said, you know, the Raiders, Steelers, you know, a tremendous amount of teams that, you know, just stick with it, you know, the Cowboys.
The Cowboys. Did you get any more simplistic than that? Right?
No, and you're right.
And they sell more than anybody in the number one merchandise sales in all of sports, almost, right? And it's a start.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, listen, they tweaked it in you know, 1997, okay?
Yep.
Now, you know, I personally like the older one better. I think the new one is a little more cartoony, and I don't like it as much. If you want to tweak it to a degree, you know, about okay, but this is just completely changing it. And, yeah, you're right, I don't really love the Patriots' new one. They had a lot of success with it, and that helps. You know, this is just in a complete other direction, you know, and I think it's a mistake. I certainly think that it's a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, just anybody out listening out there, we're going to try to do something, you know, get a petition together or something. This has to be stopped before it's too late. You know, this is bad. You know, as nutty as this sounds, this really will throw me over the edge with this organization. It really will. You know, if I have to look at that stupid thing, you know, I mean, you got to be kidding me. You know?
Well, on that note, you know, for everybody who's, you know, in agreement, you know, send us an email. Send Rich an email to PatCatelloShow@yahoo.com, and we'll kind of get a basis of what everybody thinks on it, you know. And so, you know, send us your opinions. Send it to PatCatelloShow@yahoo.com, and we'll see what comes in and sort of give fans a voice on this one.
I said last word. Three out of the last four coaches we've had have been fired in the last 10 days. As a system.
On the westbound road, right away, I made my choice.
Make that up.
Headed out to my big two-wheeler. I was tired of my own boy. Took a beat on the northern plains and just rolled that power on. $12 out of Mackinac City, stopped at a bar to have a brew. Met a girl and we had a few drinks and I told her what I decided to do. She looked out the window a long, long moment and she looked into my eyes. She didn't have to say a thing. We'll be right back.